From KALW's The Spiritual Edge podcast, this is our series, Sacred Steps. We take you around the world to meet some remarkable people as they lean on their values and faith to challenge the status quo. I'm Judy Silber. It's easy to get overloaded with news fatigue. But here at The Spiritual Edge, we try to take on difficult topics in a way that you can listen. We do that by reporting on the struggles of humanity through the eyes of people who are actively fighting for change. Regina Evans is one of those people. She's an artist, playwright, costume designer, and as she says, an abolitionist in Oakland, California. I also live in Oakland, and I can tell you that it is a bubbling center of creativity. It's a place where residents actively call out for a better and more just world. It's also been identified as a hub for child sexual exploitation. Regina Evans is calling attention to this crisis, and where she can, reaching out and offering a lifeline. Reporter Danae Darden has her story.
Regina Evans recalls how during a rough point in her life, the pastor at a friend's church prophesied over her.
She starts laughing and she said, I see them. Your children are coming. And she's laughing and she's happy. And she's like, your children are coming. And I was like, whose children are coming? What children?
The children came, all right. Regina didn't birth them, but she's giving new life to some Oakland youth who've endured unimaginable ordeals. Regina and I are on the intersection of International Boulevard and 21st Avenue in East Oakland. It's a warm Thursday, just on the eve of a heat wave. Regina is in all black flowy pants and shirt with a multicolored African wrap crowning her head. Around here are apartments, convenience stores, an elementary charter school, and trafficked youth roaming the streets. Regina says this intersection is part of a longer 2.5 mile stretch of road people in Oakland call the track.
And the track is where girls are and boys are sold into rape for sale.
Oakland is in Alameda County, whose officials report that 99% of sex trafficking victims are girls and 63% are black. Art is one way 59-year-old Regina reaches these young victims. Several times a year, Regina gathers volunteers to help her create altars on different areas of the track. She's not conventionally religious. Regina's faith is a spiritual gumbo that honors her Protestant upbringing, West African spiritual traditions, the divine feminine, and the power of dreams. This visual gift for sexually exploited girls originated in her dreams.
And I saw the track as a garden. And I woke up and I was like, what? And I was like, oh, we're supposed to change the track into a garden. It was that clear. And I was like, I'll build garden altars.
Regina and her crew brighten up blighted corners. Donors deliver green plants as offerings for the altars. Volunteers buzz around the sidewalks with plush dining room chairs, sunflowers, and African dolls. I'll say more about the symbolism later, but this is for all the altars, one for each corner at 21st Avenue and International Boulevard. Regina calls this intersection the belly of the beast. On any given night, 10 to 15 girls here are victims of trafficking.
Once it gets about 9:30, there are so many young women out here. Like on the track, this is the hottest block, right here. So you already see some girls out.
Across the street, two slim young black girls in super short shorts, sheer tops, and long colorful wigs float in the street alongside parked cars. Oakland police officials tell me about 35% of trafficked youth in Oakland are from the city. Most of the rest come from nearby areas. Regina says exploiters force kids into sex labor many ways. She knows a common tactic involves grooming. Traffickers hang out in places where kids are vulnerable, near foster care homes and in front of high schools. They charm the girls with gifts, and soon things get sexual. The girls are smitten, thinking the exploiter is their boyfriend. So when he asks for a favor, like having sex with someone for money to help him out, they do it. The exploiter turns violent if a girl doesn't want to work for him anymore. Then Regina says the exploiter's got him, mentally and physically.
The line that they use the most to grab a girl is, "You are beautiful." We are falling down on our job when that's the line from an exploiter.
That's a major reason why Regina creates these art installations that encourage the girls to seek validation from within themselves.
So that they know the difference between a real "you are beautiful" and a fake ass, because I'm going to exploit you, "you are beautiful."
As they set up the altars, volunteers keep a lookout for girls to help.
I looked at them, they tried to make eye contact, and she looked away, so yeah.
Okay, yeah, they do that. They're not trying to be bothered, but it's okay. They know we're here.
Yeah.
That's the main thing.
Regina knows firsthand what these girls are going through because she experienced it too. Regina grew up in Oakland with three siblings. Her mother was a teacher and earned a doctorate in education from the University of San Francisco. Her father was one of the first Black probation officers in California. They belonged to a Methodist church, but her parents weren't strict about religion.
But God was very present in our home. We had Bibles around the house, like you read them. We all had Bibles, and we weren't beaten with it or suffocated with it. It just was.
Some Sundays, Regina accompanied her grandmother, whom she called Madeir, to a Baptist church across town. The two formed a bond around their love of fashion.
I mean, she was a church lady. Hat, gloves, earring, like everything, right? My grandmother had like blue and red slips to go with the dresses, you know, the same color. Just everything. So there was a ritual to that that I really enjoyed. And my grandmother actually prayed over me a lot.
And she may have prayed for Regina at one of the altars she set up all over her home.
Well, the ones in the living room were like up on a ledge, and she would maybe have crosses and little china cups, like a thing with a scripture.
The girl who loved to play in her grandmother's clothes grew up and earned a degree in international relations at UC Davis. Shortly after, she moved to Washington, D.C., and landed a job with civil rights icon and ordained minister, Congressman John Lewis.
I was actually his first hire, legislative hire. And one of the things that I worked on was apartheid.
This was during the 80s, and the world was watching South Africa. On Capitol Hill, apartheid victims shared their stories in congressional committee hearings. Regina recalls the trauma she felt as she sat through one testimony.
Like, I remember there's one woman, she told the story of how she literally saw her son being gunned down. And she just was weeping so much, and like, I was weeping, you know, the room was weeping. And then I remember one of the questions after she finished that was asked of her was, how did that make you feel to see your son get killed?
The insensitivity of that question shook her.
I remember my whole soul froze. And it was almost like in that moment I broke. And it probably was a good thing because it started opening me up for things that had happened to me as a child.
That moment triggered memories of molestation she endured after her parents divorced.
It's almost like a early midlife crisis, or was heading into like a nervous breakdown or something. And then I was just like, I need to get out of here. And so I just left.
To London. A few years into living there, money got tight. Regina saw an ad for dancers. She looked into the gig. With family so far away, she became financially dependent on men. Those men forced Regina into sex labor. She endured sexual violence and lost hope. Somehow she escaped and landed in Australia. Regina started going to church and reading the Bible, along with a Christian self-help book for people in emotional pain. She was reading a prayer in the book when suddenly
something came like a fire from the top of my head through my body, all the way through my feet. I broke out in a sweat. And I remember thinking, oh, shit. I started praying in tongues.
She couldn't speak for 3 days.
It was almost like a window into a new spiritual realm had opened up and that I could peek into it.
That energy from that spiritual realm felt like
a black mama thing from the middle of the earth. And I don't know what that means. It feels like an old black woman with deep wrinkles in purple rocking chair with a very resolute face. That's what it feels like the shift was in me.
Other areas of her life shifted too. Regina fell in love with an older, wealthy man who helped her open a vintage boutique in Australia she called the Diva's Closet. Within months, it took off. Australian celebrities wore her garments on the red carpet. Top fashion magazines like Harper's Bazaar ran features on her boutique. Even the diva, Beyoncé, knew about the Diva's Closet. And when she was on tour down under with her group Destiny's Child, it was hard for Regina to ignore that they were in town.
I didn't go to the concert, but I remember waking up the next morning. It was Sunday, and I remember saying, at that time, I was going to church. And I remember saying, God, I'm not going to go to church. I don't feel like it. I'm missing black people. By the way, I know Beyoncé is in town. Can you send her to my shop? That was it. Rudest prayer ever.
Well, God answered her anyway. Less than an hour later, a representative from Beyoncé's record label phoned to ask whether the star and her entourage could check out the boutique. It was a life-changing encounter. Regina confided to Beyoncé that she was homesick.
And so I'm so glad you're here because I miss black people, you know. And she said to me, she said, you should go home.
Regina prayed for a while about whether to follow that advice. She began dreaming that her boutique was completely empty. After living in Australia for nearly 15 years, she says God told her to leave everything, close her boutique, and go back to Oakland.
It was like a death. So I gave everything away. And I came home with nothing. And which started a whole journey. I had to start over again and figure out what the hell I was supposed to be doing.
She says God told her that her soul was suffering and she needed to heal from her traumas and grief over her parents' divorce. Regina was in her mid-40s when she returned to Oakland. Her emotional healing process was rocky.
It was such a hard time. It was really, really hard. You know, I'd gone homeless because, you know, I got a mother from Mobile, Alabama. Like, you know, raise four black kids, you educate, you know, this, and this. And then you gonna come home and tell me you don't have nothing. You know, and I'm like, I'm on a spiritual journey. And I can only say it was God and divinity and spirit and ancestors that kept me.
Regina was homeless and couch surfing for 5 years.
You're listening to Sacred Steps, a series from KALW's The Spiritual Edge. You can hear more great stories like the one you're hearing right now by following The Spiritual Edge in your podcast feed, or go to thespiritualedge.org. Now back to our story about activist Regina Evans.
Slowly, she rebuilt her life in Oakland. Regina got a writing job at a youth shelter where she met activists helping trafficked kids. With her mother's help, she opened a vintage boutique in downtown called Regina's Door. She also uses it as an arts and healing space, and she started writing plays. All this put her in contact with the children her friend's pastor had envisioned would come into her life. Girls as young as 10 years old, and teenagers whose parents sold them to exploiters for drug money. Regina has directly helped them and so many others. Amara Tabor Smith explains.
These young people are in sexual slavery. Let's be clear, it is slavery.
Amara is an artist who helps Regina with the children she rescues. Amara says people confuse sex trafficking with prostitution. Prostitution is when one is a willing participant in sex work. The U.S. State Department calls sex trafficking a modern form of slavery, where exploiters use force, fraud, or coercion to traffic people into sex labor. Amara, Regina, and others who work to emotionally and physically liberate trafficked girls identify themselves as abolitionists.
The rescue work is about how does this young person get on their feet?
Regina works her connections. She finds housing for survivors. She'll alert the police about extra shelter beds and link youth to organizations where they'll be safe. She helps them find jobs and food.
A lot of them need, you know, they need mental health resources because of the amount of trauma. That's where Regina has been really, like, her work is really powerful.
I reached out to survivors Regina has helped. For their safety, they declined being interviewed. But I noticed they affectionately refer to Regina as Mama Regina. Amara says the youth do this out of trust.
Regina has been consistent, unrelenting in, I'm here. I'm here if you need to talk, you need to stop by. You know, her personality is such that she's both an elder, but also there's something eternally youthful about her. She's Mama Regina, but she's also right there with you.
Sometimes she puts her own safety at risk. For her protection, Regina won't disclose how she and other abolitionists rescue the girls. She recalls a time the exploiters wanted her off the streets. She got a warning when an Oakland activist phoned her at 5:30 in the morning.
He was like, Mama, you got to stay off the street. He said, we're going to calm it down for you. And I won't go into the situation, but yeah. I just said, okay.
Regina kept away from the streets for about a year. Sex trafficking is a big underground business. In 2014, the International Labor Organization estimated that it generates $99 billion in illegal profits every year in the United States. In Oakland.
So it depends how many people the exploiters are trafficking.
Sergeant Marcos Campos supervises the Oakland Police Department's Vice and Child Exploitation Unit.
Talking to some of the girls that are out there, they say on a good night, they can make approximately $500 to $800.
Sergeant Campos says exploiters can be young or older men, and women too. He adds that territorial beef between exploiters has caused an uptick in violence. That's one reason why Regina had to lie low for a while.
And then things lightened up and now, yeah, it's okay.
Regina's rescue work is dangerous and emotional. It stretches beyond a 9-to-5 commitment. She's just now able to afford her own apartment 14 years after returning to Oakland. She says her spiritual awakening in Australia still fuels her.
I've been traumatized, I've been afraid, and I'm still here. Like, you know, those kind of things strengthen you. You know, also love strengthens you, but I really put it back to that moment. And I know it sounds wild, but I think without that moment, whatever happened spiritually in that moment allows me to continue doing the work.
The energy is festive on the Thursday Regina and I meet at International Boulevard and 21st Avenue. A jazz band performs for a mass and distance crowd. This music, the decorated altars I mentioned earlier, this entire day has a name. Regina calls it Beloved and Insistence. Regina goes to an altar with a Ziploc bag full of pennies and strings of pearls. She instructs the volunteers to put the final touches on these captivating altars. They remind me of Regina's grandmother's altars. Volunteers have cloaked chairs and gold fabric that resembles a wrap around a grandmother's shoulders. The girls can approach the altars like they'd visit grandma's house, and they won't leave empty-handed. Resting on lace and gold-colored platters are medical masks and hand sanitizer, condoms, snacks and fruit, sanitary napkins. And along with material goods, the spaces offer cultural symbols too.
Well, I always have grains because they represent the crops that our ancestors picked. You know, so I always have cotton, always have rice, and then I have things that nourished us, you know, like grits.
Marigolds and sunflowers are everywhere in honor of Oshun, goddess of love, beauty, and fertility in the Yoruba religion. Some stories portray Oshun as a protector. Regina learned about the power of the feminine divine from Amara, who was also a Yoruba priest and spiritual mentor to Regina. Sergeant Campos recognizes how these altars are a kind of refuge for exploited girls.
It's almost like a safe sanctuary if anyone needs to go over there to contact one of the advisors or advocates over there. That's where basically the exploiters themselves know not to be in that area.
Almost like a spiritual force field that keeps them at a distance. Regina's Black culture, prayers, femininity, and time she spent with her grandmother all inspire the offerings and visual style of these altars. The people who set this up have painted posters with the words, "You are beautiful," and pastel chalk they've written on the sidewalk, "You are worthy of your dreams." Then, right in the belly of the beast.
You guys are the ballerinas. Yay, I'm so excited.
Dancers from the Oakland Ballet plie on the corners in front of the altars as local poet Nisha DeLovely performs.
Her heart's a sacred diamond. Her mind's a rare sapphire. Made only more precious by the pressures of this world. As beautiful and strong as granite, she is the Black girl.
The ballet doesn't come out to perform for just anybody, especially on street corners. But Regina says these trafficked kids aren't just anybody, and she pulled out all the stops for this visual gift of love. After the performances, Regina stands on a corner before about 60 people spilling into the street. Her rising voice fills the neighborhood.
We insist on love. We insist that these babies will have a divine life. We insist that you are no longer silent. These are not somebody else's babies. These are your children. These are our children. Insist for your children. Insist for your children. Insist for your children.
Following Regina's speech, Amara Tabor Smith approaches her with a plastic water bottle for libations, a ritual pouring of liquid for a spirit or ancestor. She sprinkles drops of water at Regina's feet to symbolize cleansing and cooling.
Omi tutu, cool water. Ona tutu, cool road. Ile tutu, cool house.
As the crowd thins, I catch up to Regina.
Were there any girls? I know I saw one girl kind of came through. And uh-huh. Did any other girls come in to get some of the resources or talk to you?
Yeah, I talked to about 10 girls.
10 girls? Regina sees the shock on my face.
I mean, they're just there constantly. It's just a matter of, like, looking.
As I walk back to my car, I take in the intersection of 21st Avenue and International Boulevard. The sun is setting and altars glow against the backdrop of the orange, peachy sky. While watching to cross the street, I notice the strips of fabric Regina tore and tied onto the light poles at each corner. Earlier in the day, she explained why.
You know, it doesn't look perfect, right? And you're deconstructing something, and you're building it back, and it looks beautiful. And I think a lot that that's what happens with our healing if we allow it to happen.
Healing might be the next step for those 10 girls Regina met on this day. For The Spiritual Edge, I'm Janae Dart.
You've been listening to a story from the Sacred Steps series. We're a production of KALW's The Spiritual Edge in collaboration with USC's Center for Religion and Civic Culture. If you haven't already, follow the Spiritual Edge podcast wherever you listen. We've got more great stories on the way, and you won't want to miss them. Support for Sacred Steps comes from the John Templeton Foundation and the Templeton Religion Trust. Cheryl Duvall is the Sacred Steps editor. Tariq Fuda is the engineer. Lindsay Myers-Humley is the digital content manager. Tom Levy is the photographer for The Spiritual Edge. We're grateful to all the people who helped get this Spiritual Edge podcast out into the world, including Megan Suisse, Heva Farag, Ben Trefney, Shireen Adel, Sadia Termizi, Jeffrey Burke-Witten, and Megan Jones. If you appreciated this story, there's a few easy ways you can help. Give us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, follow us on social media, and of course, tell your friends. You can also sign up for the Spiritual Edge newsletter for updates at thespiritualedge.org. I'm Judy Silber. Thanks for listening.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.